I can see you're admiring Publix here tonight.
Yes, I am so glad about that. Okay, I'd like to call this meeting of the City Council and the Redevelopment Agency of the City of Arroyo Grande to order this Tuesday, October 23rd, 2007. Roll call.
Council Board Member Costello.
Here.
Council Board Member Guthrie.
Here.
Council Board Member Fellow.
Together. Our Father in heaven, we come this evening in gratitude for the blessings of life, the blessings of freedom, the blessings of community, the blessings of fellowship, the blessings of our nation, the United States of America. Our prayer goes out to those who have suffered great loss in the many fires throughout California. And we want to pray for the firemen, the volunteers, the helpers, for the assistance of so many people, and for the generous hearts of those caring everywhere. Would you please help them to get a handle on this widespread problem, and that soon the fire will be under control, the winds die down. Your great grace through Jesus Christ our Lord be upon each person. This is showing the love of many, reaching out in this major catastrophe. And tonight we would invoke your blessing upon the City Council and on those who serve the community so faithfully. So much is required of them. Please give them wisdom, direction, and may your will be worked out in each one of their lives and in every place, here and around the world. We would ask you to protect them by your power, and may peace break forth throughout the world. Be with those in leadership throughout our land. And as your Son Jesus Christ taught his disciples to pray, we would magnify you as we petition, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be your name. And to the name above all names, we give you blessing and honor, glory and power, thanksgiving and praise. As we share this Thanksgiving month, we too respond, Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases. And we would pray that you will also heal our land. In your name, with gratitude, we pray. Amen. You may be seated.
Thank you, Pastor. Now, as typical, we'd like to hear from the Boy Scouts, so if you could come up to the podium and tell us what you guys have been up to.
Well, this summer we went on a high adventure trip to Alaska. We flew out there and we stayed in this camp owned by some local fishermen, and We did a lot of activities. We went sailing on old ships, and we went kayaking for 3 days, camping in the Kenai Fjords, and we went glacier hiking. It was a lot of fun. Did some fishing, caught a lot of deep sea fish. Probably one of the most memorable outings I've ever been on.
With the grandson of Baden Powell and 40,000 other scouts from 158 different countries, that all have scouting, and it's only 158 countries in the world that have scouting, so every single country there was represented there, and that was probably the most memorable thing I've ever done so far. So, yeah, that's what I did.
Thank you.
Then coming up this summer, we're going on a backpacking trip in New Mexico. It is Philmont, and we will be going from 50 to 100 miles in 10 days, I think it is, and at each stop, we'll have sometimes a different activity, like black powder rifles and a bunch of other activities, so it should be a lot of fun.
Well, thank you very much. Hope you guys will come back again. Okay, item 5 is special presentations. We have none tonight. Item 6 is agenda review. Move that all ordinances presented for introduction or adoption be read in title only and all further readings be waived.
So moved.
Second.
Roll call, or I guess everybody in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Motion carries. Item 7 is community comments and suggestions. This is an opportunity for members of the community to discuss items that are not on the agenda. The Brown Act restricts the council from taking formal action on matters not presented on the agenda. Please address the council as a whole and limit your comments to 3 minutes or less. Oh, we do have a taker.
Yes, you do. I am going to request some help. I brought some pictures with me, and if someone over on this side would move, change.
And could you state your name and address for the record, please? Pastor, could you get the light bank back there, please? The one on the left, I believe. Thank you. That's perfect.
My name is Connie Dunbar. I live at 507 Lana Lane in Arroyo Grande. I had the, my son Stephen actually had the terrible misfortune of being on his bike, being hit by a car on his way to Paulding School a week ago. He is fine. He walked away with scratches. A year ago, I had gone to the orientation with Stephen, and we had both gone on our bicycles. I don't look like I can ride a bike, but I actually did. And it was a disturbing trip for me because the route is difficult and it was up the wrong side of Branch Street to the back end of the school. And I spoke to Gary Moore and he said, you know, we've been through this with the city and we've tried to get this fixed with Caltrans to get a crosswalk and nothing has been accomplished. So last week, my son got hit by this car, and I want to revisit this issue, and I want to ask that we take another look at this. We have many smart people and engineers, of which I am not, who I think we can do a better job for our children. So I brought some pictures that were actually taken this morning by my son and my husband to look at what goes on in this, both lanes of traffic in front of this truck to get there. Would you switch to the next picture, please? Okay. If a student chooses not to do that, the other option is to take the wrong side of, this is the end of Branch Mill Road, again, going up toward Lopez Drive. They go up the wrong side of the hill, because so they're going against traffic on their bicycles or on or walking so that they can just turn up to get to the backside of Paulding. And the problem with this is there are cars turning off, making right turns off several streets. The drivers are actually looking to the left, and students are getting hit. Another obstacle is all the way up that side of the hill, there's a lot of terracing. And so there's walls that are restrict visibility. So this is a problem. Could we go to one more picture? Okay, I think there's some more underneath that we missed. Anyway, when I would encourage you about 7:45 in the morning to just park at the bottom of Crown Hill. The students are not allowed to take Crown Hill up to Paulding School because that's the bus route. And it would be terrible for anyone to get hit by the bus. That would even be worse. So they're taking this back route that takes them on an obstacle course, which has many hazards. I have some ideas of how we might improve this, but I'm not an engineer. And I would really like this to be brought up again under the purview of the city and see if we can make this safer for our students getting. But I know that there are a lot of near misses. So my name is Connie Dunbar. I'm in the phone book. And you can also contact me by email at con, C-O-N, Dunbar, D-U-N-B-A-R, at AOL.com. I'd like to hear from anyone who has thoughts about this matter. And I really encourage you to put this on the agenda and either here, the Planning Commission, the Traffic Commission, whoever has purview over this. I appreciate your time.
Can I just ask one quick question, Ms. Dunbar?
Sure.
Yeah, when you say the backside, are you talking about where Crown Hill comes down into to where Wasna and all connects there?
No, actually, the backside of Paulding is the extension. After you pass Crown Hill on the north side of East Branch Street, there's a very small sidewalk. And so the students are biking up the wrong side of the road.
So there's actually a sidewalk that comes off of East Branch there. And
yes.
Up to this, where the bridge is, like?
The bridge is not there. There is an entrance to the back side of Paulding School that cuts off of East Branch Street, but it's on the north side. So they're riding the wrong way. The police officer said it would be considered that my son was at fault for the accident that occurred. But he chooses to do that instead of to cross two lanes of traffic to get to this back entrance. So,
okay.
Good. Take a walk up there and look at it. It's really interesting. Is there anything else? Great. Thank you.
Steve?
Yeah, if you'd like, I could kind of respond to the status of this. If
that'd be great.
The
thank
council
you.
Would like that. Yeah, I just wanted to emphasize a fairly complicated project, and that's why it's taking some time to get implemented. But it is something that we're working very hard on, and staff would be glad to meet with you because it sounds like maybe you can identify some additional issues to make sure that we've addressed those in the planning process. Yeah.
Thank you, Steve. Any other takers? Okay, if not, then we will close community comments and suggestions. And we will move on to the consent agenda, which is item 8. The consent agenda is a group of items that the council has a chance to review, and it's typically approved as a whole. Any member of the council may ask that an item be pulled for further discussion and a separate vote. This is also a time that any member of the public may comment on any consent agenda items. We ask that you address the council as a whole and that you limit your comments to 3 minutes or less. Would any member like to speak on any of the consent agenda items 8A through 8I? Seeing none, we will close public comment and we'll bring it back to the council. What is the will of the council?
I'm fine with the whole agenda.
All right. If everyone's okay, then do I have a motion to approve items 8A through 8I?
So moved.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Roll call, please. Oh, Tim, is there anything to read in there?
Indeed, there is. Item 8I is an ordinance of the City Council of the City of Arroyo Grande amending the zoning map to designate the subject property as single-family residential. Development Code Amendment 06004 applied for by the City of Arroyo Grande for property located north of the East Cherry Avenue extension, subarea 2 of the East Village Neighborhood Plan. And one other note, there is a revision to 8C, the minutes. There was an additional handout. That would be a part of the motion.
9 5-year implementation plan, including amendments to the implementation plan to update the implementation plan's projects list. Great word for me tonight. Thank you.
Sounds complicated. It's actually a pretty simple item. Thank you, Mr. Mayor Pro Tem and Vice Chair and members of the City Council and Redevelopment Agency Board of Directors. City's Redevelopment Agency was formed in 1997. State law requires all Board of Directors of Redevelopment Agencies to adopt an implementation plan every 5 years to guide the operations and activities and projects of the agency. The City of Arroyo Grande's existing plan was adopted in 2004. The state also requires adoption of a midterm review to basically provide a status report of the projects and activities outlined in the implementation plan, as well as any new projects and other items that have been established since the plan was originally adopted. That is being presented to you for your consideration this evening. I won't go through all the specific items outlined in the midterm review, but because I think we've discussed the majority of them individually in the past. However, I'd be happy to try to answer any questions that you have or any additional information you'd like me to elaborate on with regard to any of the projects. And staff respectfully recommends approval by the agency board of directors.
Are there any questions? Councilman Fellows?
Thank you, Mayor Pro Tem. I have a couple of questions. It doesn't sound like my mic is on. But it is. Clean up that parking area and that old Chinese restaurant would be nice. How's it going?
Yes, it's correct. Mr. Poland has passed away. There's a little bit of a delay in activities because there's the probate process is taking place. However, the agency staff has made contact with his heirs, and they have expressed an interest in working with the city and agency, not only with regard to this property, but a number of properties that they will have control of. And as far as specifics of the parking area, we've had some general discussions, but part of it includes maybe improvements to parking there. But staff has also had a number of discussions with the owner of the theater. And so there's a number of ideas, really concepts being discussed right now, from expansion of the theater to bringing in some other uses that would help help support the theater surrounding it. The parking is an important item for the theater. So don't have any specifics yet, but we are moving ahead with discussions and hope to have some better concepts for you later this year.
And then, thanks, Steve. And then one other question regarding relinquishment. How are you doing on that? Highway 227 relinquishment.
Relinquishment, we should be, I would guess, about 3 to 4 months away now. Caltrans has completed the initial phase of study, and we've reviewed it, and they're processing that now. And I think the next step then will be for them to draft an agreement for our review. But the basic terms of the agreement we have reached consensus on, so don't think there will be any problems moving ahead.
Thank you. And then just for my colleagues, you and I had a discussion about
Okay, then I will open this up to the public. Is there anyone in the public that would like to comment on item 9A? Seeing none, we will close it and bring it back to council. Why don't you go first, Councilman Fellows?
Thank you. First of all, I want to say thank you for numbering the pages. It's great to be able to talk about a certain item, especially when we sometimes have over 200 pages of a staff report. And we can all find that page and then talk about, discuss it. So thank you very much for that.
That was the city attorney's idea, but the city clerk has another idea to make it even look nicer and easier next time. So we're going to be improving every meeting.
Well, in fact, it was your idea. We implemented it.
You're a smart man, Tim Carmel. Thanks a lot. Let's see if I have anything else. Now, I spent quite a bit of time looking at this, and the update, it's a good idea. It looks good to me. I have no problems with it. So thank you very much.
Thank you. Councilman Costello.
I have to echo the comments from Mr. Fellows. I think that the update is well-structured. It's nice to be able to look in here and see what we've accomplished so far, what's being pulled off the table, and what's been added in. I think we've got a good plan, and I look forward to implementing this as we go through the next 5 years.
Thank you. Councilman Guthrie.
Yeah, I'll echo the same comments, you know, that certainly we've done quite a bit in the economic development area and with relatively limited resources and looking forward to, with the more resources available, being able to do more. So, yeah, I concur.
Thanks. Thank you. Well, I'll make it unanimous. I agree. I think the items that were added were very appropriate. I think we have a very solid plan, and I look forward to seeing them implemented. So with that, is there a motion? Any discussion? Roll call, please.
Board Member Guthrie?
Yes.
Board Member Costello?
Yes.
Board Member Fellows?
Yes.
And Vice Chair Arnold?
Yes. Okay, well, that moves us to item 10, continued business. There is none. Item 11, new business. 11A is consideration of a pre-application case number 07-004 to subdivide a 0.58-acre parcel property into 6 affordable housing residential lots and 2 open space lots located at the southwest corner of Cedar and Aspen Streets. Applicant Pragna Patel.
Thank you, Mayor Pro Tem, members of the council. First off, I am absolutely freezing. Can we turn down the air conditioning?
See, you know, I'm comfortable as can be. It's just
well, if your daughter was here, she wouldn't.
Rob's a gentleman. Here we go.
Going to hold down there too.
Oh. All right. Never mind. I'm being dressed.
That's a good look.
I guess that's a little bit more professional. Thank you, Rob. Okay, so here we go. As you can see, the project site is located on the corner of Cedar and Aspen Streets and is about an acre in size, half an acre in size. The property is currently vacant. It's basically flat and has several mature oak trees on it, which the applicant intends to retain and also protect. The property is predominantly surrounded by single-family residential development with multifamily development to the south and is currently zoned single-family residential. So they have single-family lots. Two would have second units. And there's also two open space lots. The open space areas would have amenities such as a playground, benches, and playground equipment, barbecue areas, you know, as such. The two houses along Cedar Street frontage, as you can see there, there's two along the very front there. They'll be sold at market rate. That's what they're proposing to do. And that would help offset the cost of providing the affordable housing for the other four units. Because of their small design, it is anticipated that those two units would be sold at what we call the workforce housing level, which is about 160% of the median cost of living. The four interior units would be deed restricted to either the lower income or moderate income levels. So to do this project, the applicant would need to pursue a general plan amendment and also a development code amendment to change the land use and the zoning from single-family residential to multiple-family residential. Because the property is adjacent to multiple-family, it is considered pretty much a reasonable request, so it's not, you know, spot zoning of any kind. The formal application package would also include a tentative tract map and a PUD. So because this is an affordable housing project, the applicant is requesting a density bonus units. But with the two second units, the total requested density bonus would be three units. So regarding parking, the development code requires two spaces per unit within an enclosed garage, plus one half space for guest parking. So that would be three spaces total as far as guest parking is concerned. The second units require one uncovered space each. All but one lot complies with the code. Lot two has one space within a garage and then one open space within the driveway. So that's in a tandem configuration, which we only allow usually with minor exceptions. Guest parking is provided in the private driveways. So in sum, there's 17 spaces provided or required and 16 provided. Because this is predominantly an affordable housing project, the applicant is requesting a density bonus of three units, which includes two second units. Based on state density law, I hear a ringing.
Sorry
in
the about
background.
That. So good when I'm not here.
The city must grant one density bonus and then also incentives and concessions when an applicant seeks and agrees to construct any kind of affordable housing development, which is the case here. The applicant is proposing to provide three additional affordable housing units within the lower to moderate income level, which I've said. They would be deed restricted to unit. Therefore, the density would be allowable if rezoning is approved by the city and one unit is designated for low income, which is what she's proposing to do. So as I mentioned, the applicant is seeking a parking concession. Officially, only the tandem parking situation doesn't work per the development code, and it also doesn't work functionally because there's conflicting movements, as you can see on the site plan, which I will show you. Well, let me go back. Hold on. I'm not very very good at this. Here we go. In this area right here, you can see where the tandem configuration is. And these movements right here, if somebody was trying to back out, it just doesn't work. So that's the problem with this configuration right here. So she knows that, and she plans on reconfiguring it. So the other slide, whoops. These slides show basically just an overview of what they're planning on doing. And it's a 3D model. It was done by a student at Cal Poly, and it's really just to show the form and the massing of the site, just to give you an idea of how it would work and how it would look. The staff is recommending, staff and the Planning Commission, that you just look at the project and, you know, provide any suggestions and comments to the applicant so that they can come back later on with the formal application, which I said includes the tentative tract map and the planning and development. So with that, I would ask if you have any questions.
Any questions?
Yeah, Kelly, on page 11A-3, the disadvantages, the last sentence, I don't, could you expand on that? Because I don't really understand fully. I don't understand that fully. 11A-3.
How the all numbered now.
Might overcome that disadvantage.
As far as providing infill housing?
Well, you say, lastly, the two units proposed for workforce housing would not qualify as affordable units, and therefore... How can we approve the project, or what has to be changed?
Well, there's going to be all the other units are going to be affordable units. The two units in the front are, you know, when I say considered workforce housing, that's just by design because they're going to be small units.
But you say they do not qualify. Under
can I help you jump real quick? Those are the market units.
That's right.
They don't need to qualify.
They don't need to qualify
because they already have four units that do qualify. Yeah.
Okay, so where's the disadvantage? I guess there really isn't one then. Okay, I'm fine. Good. That's my only question so far. Okay. Thank you.
What kind of street parking would we have available?
Street parking, we're not talking about street parking in this instance.
I understand, but if this were put in, is there any space available that would be considered street parking that might be able to service this?
You probably could get, if you look at the dimensions or of the project itself, you could probably get three spaces on street parking.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay, I have one question as well. As far as the process here, because with the way we have to work with the state as far as density bonuses go, mm-hmm. and this might be more for you, Tim, as far as timing, if we were to, as we work through this, if we were to say, okay, fine, we like this project, we're going to approve it based on this configuration, and so we give them the zoning as such, are they locked together, or if they were to then decide we don't want to build this project, but now we have the new zoning, could they then come back with a different project that was, I guess, asking for other concessions? Because right now we're really only looking at one parking space of a concession. But are we opening a door to where we could get ourselves in this in trouble later?
Well, first of all, when you do the rezone, you should assume that that's not going to be the only project that's there. It should stand on its own merits. We would link together the project and the rezone and the general plan amendment.
Okay, so
it would all go at once.
We would link them all.
But I understand that, but the zoning then would take place, but the project could expire.
Right, yeah.
I guess the other question then would be, is there a way using the current zoning that we could give an exception for this specific project to get to the density that we wanted without changing the zoning? My concern is that we created, obviously, a density before the state created these additional requirements that if someone comes in with a certain project, you have to give more. And while I think what we're looking at here probably works for this neighborhood, a full-blown multifamily project with additional density bonuses might not. And so that I'm looking, is there a way that we can...
They can only get...
They need the rezone in order to accommodate the project.
Yeah. Okay, that's my only question then. Any other questions? All right.
Just one real quick. I was going to ask this to the applicant, but when this came before Planning Commission, I watched it on TV, was it originally single-story and now it is two-story units? Or did I misunderstand that at Planning Commission?
Nothing has changed since Planning Commission.
It's the same as Planning Commission. Okay.
All right. If there's no more questions of staff, then we'll open it to the applicant or open it to the public, and we'll let the applicant go first.
Thank you. My name is Pragna Patel. I'm a resident of San Luis Obispo. And as Kelly alluded, that I'm currently a business owner with hotels. We do development and operations of hotels. And just to kind of give you a background as to why we ended up with this is that originally we had purchased this lot for the purposes of somehow providing housing for our staff. And the reason why is that it's hard to retain staff in this county. It's extremely difficult and affordable. I really think that this would facilitate the staff that I have here. We've been, you know, talking to them, motivating them, you know, encouraging them to stay with us because it's extremely, extremely difficult to maintain staff. I don't know if all of you have these issues, but in the hotel industry, in the hospitality industry, it's very, very difficult. But with that said, I also wanted to make sure that everyone also understood that we don't want to build a house that is, initially when I met with Rob and Kelly, you know, we decided that we don't want like a side-by-side housing. So we created, I wanted to have where kids can have a garden or mom can have a garden and kids can have a place to play and playground. So that's how we ended up with this kind of an unusual configuration. Yes, we have some issues in terms of parking, which have been pointed out. In terms of this two-story, I think the gentleman over there, it has been two-story, but one of the suggestions was that, and I forgot about this, was the what type of roof to put in a pitch roof over the garage. So those are the type of design elements that we have already got suggestions that we would definitely take into consideration. I think this would be a really nice project. The homes are not huge. They're very conservative. You know, our goal is not to sell to the general public. If anything at all, it would be to the employees who can eventually own their home. And so that could be a long-term process. The front two home does not necessarily mean that we will sell them, but if the project requires the funding for it, we may do it. But it's right now currently the way we have structured it such that it is not intended to sell to the general public, but we would sell it if the cash flow demanded.
Perhaps based on the scale.
Mm-hmm.
This is question period, but I'll make a comment regarding that corner in a little while. Do you think that's about right, 10 feet perhaps? Enough room to put a driveway maybe?
Put a driveway?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I couldn't answer that because I don't know what the requirements of a driveway are really. So I have worked with this conceptually, but not necessarily in terms of the actual requirements of dimensions. Just like a parking space, I would not necessarily know how big the parking spaces need to be. That's something that I would have to defer to an architect. But as a suggestion, if you say there should be a driveway, then I can look into that. But I couldn't tell you specifically whether it's 10 feet or
okay.
Four, sorry.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Any other questions of the applicant?
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
Are there anyone else in the public that would like to comment on this item? If not, I will close it and bring it back to council. Councilman Guthrie, why don't you go first?
Well, first I will say I think this is a very innovative idea and really the more affordable housing we can get, particularly in this area, because we're looking at the development of Grand Avenue very close by this as being a relatively intense commercial zone, and certainly this is an area where we could consider in increasing density because we have the facilities available. Certainly, I'm probably okay with the single parking space concession. I think that actually a relatively a lot of on-street parking here compared to what would be two single-family homes would actually eat up quite a bit of the sidewalk space. My unit's in multifamily zones anyway, independent of this project, but in any multifamily zone. But also, I think it's problematic when you start looking at an affordable unit that has a granny unit on it and the how you calculate its value, how you calculate income, because you would have to include the income in the income of the person who's purchasing it. So I'm not sure that what you're hoping to accomplish, which is making it more plausible that they could afford the affordable unit, because now their income's gone up based on the rental. So I would say to me that's problematic. It's certainly not unsolvable, but it's new ground, and new ground's always difficult. So those would be my comments. Sorry, it's me.
Yeah, that'd be fine. Yeah. We'll reopen up public for a second.
I'm quite aware of your concerns there, because that was one of the thoughts that had come through when we were initially looking at. But one of the things that you also have to understand is that the people who are going to be staying here currently can't even afford a $1,200 monthly payment. So the way we were looking at it is, and specifically, and this is how this whole concept came up, was that we have a manager. She has a family. She can probably afford probably about $1,200 with her husband working. But if she needed additional help, we would rent that whole place out for $1,200. So she, in turn, can get some money if she has kids or have other kids stay there, because this is all intended for family members as well. I mean, most of my staff who works with me are Hispanic. They're very large families, and they all live together pretty much. And so I felt that this was a good solution to helping them achieve that. I mean, one of the gals who works for me has 3 grown sons. A lot of restrictions, I think, on the housing units when they are low income or moderate income. So,
and I think you're misunderstanding my concern. My concern actually has to do with how you define the value of the home if it has a rental unit attached from an affordable housing standpoint. It's real simple. You say it's 2 bedrooms, it's X amount. If it's 2 bedroom with a rental unit, I have no idea how you then establish its affordable value. The other issue that I'm raising is exactly what you're trying to accomplish, is to provide a second source of income for them to be able to afford the unit. But the second source of income has to be included in their income. So it almost disqualifies them. You know, it's going to raise the value of the home by that much. So I'm not sure that it's going to accomplish what you're trying to accomplish if you actually follow the strict intent of the policy. Okay. But I don't know that there is a policy to deal with granny units on an affordable okay. house. I'm just saying it's problematic. I've never heard of it being done before.
Okay.
People I talk to in affordable housing couldn't tell me how you would deal with it.
Yeah.
So
okay. That's
what I'm saying.
No, yeah. I didn't think about it that way.
Okay. All right.
Thank you. I will close public hearing again. All right.
Those were my comments.
All right, Councilman Costello, why don't you go next?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor Pro Tem. I have no particular problems with the proposal as I see it before me. I think it's a good idea to try to get some low-income household units built. Parking, I don't think a major concession. One spot's going to be a major concession. You may have some problems restructuring the flow, but I do think there's the potential for significant off-street parking on this. There'll be a site, you know, street parking that would be affordable housing and qualifications. Be very careful in how it's structured, because those formulas are set, and we want to make sure that the people that we want to get into these houses will still qualify. So I just advise a little caution as you go forward with that. But I don't have any particular problems with it.
Thank you. Councilman Fellows.
Thank you, Mayor Pro Tem. First of all, I'd like to say that I would like to see this project come to fruition. Sounds good. I would really like, in the end, to have it include all the things that you state, the barbecue area, the trees, the benches, and so on and so on. We don't want to see those things go away as the project goes along. I like the idea that it's been planned around the oak trees. The larger oak on Cedar Street's and pardon me, is healthy and in good shape. The other three, not so good, but it's good that they're being preserved. Also, the fact that it's transitional zoning or development, I like that very much, because, as everybody here knows, Cedar Street and Aspen Street to the north of the project single-family residences, multifamily residences to the south. So transitional zoning is good. I think it's difficult to look at this pre-application and really with a critical eye because, in my mind, the Planning Commission told you a while back that there were some serious parking problems. It would have been great if you would have come back today with those worked out because it looks like about 40%, looks to me like about 40% of the project has a real snarl of a problem down there in the units 2, 3, and 4 with the tandem parking and the single car garage. You've really got to do some work on that because once people fill their garages, which they do, fill them with stuff, you know, a driveway with parking in the very bottom coming with a driveway apron off of Aspen Street down where it says Common Area 2 through there, or perhaps a driveway for unit lot 5 off of the street. I don't see any reason why not to have driveways there. They're up and down the whole street. That would get some of that parking off the center. But, boy, that center is just a mess right now, so you've really got to work on that. Let's see what else. Infill, high density here. I know the neighbors aren't going to want to hear this, but I think it's a wonderful idea. That way it takes advantage of the infrastructure that exists now, and people can live within the city rather than outside the city on the ag land up in the hills, and they can get to work pretty easily, walk or ride a bike or drive a short distance or take public transit. So good luck with this. I hope you go ahead and go for it. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, I'll start off by saying that I definitely like the design of this project a lot more than if it would have been a PUD that we've seen in some of the areas where we just end up with a straight driveway down. I think it's definitely designed for the vegetation that exists plus the location. I will definitely echo that I think the parking needs to be resolved. I didn't like when I was first looking at it that there were the flat roofs over the garage, but then I noticed that the Planning Commission had also discussed that. I guess for me, the biggest concern that I'm going to have is the belief that the project's going to be built. And the reason I say that is we've approved projects in the past where we felt they were going to get built, and then they didn't. Then this it built in the mixed use or the medium density zoning versus the single family could be a concern to me. So I'm not sure how we're going to get there based on what our council has told us we may not be. So I guess it's going to come down to the quality of the project that you bring forward and just the conviction that you have. I believe that you're saying you're going to build this. Unfortunately, sometimes economics dictate other things. You go forward, get the zoning, and then someone comes along and offers you a lot more money than you paid for the property. It's sometimes tempting. So that's going to be my hesitation right now. I think that you've gotten some pretty good feedback here. It is difficult when we don't have any kind of elevations of exactly what you're planning to build to go too far along with that. But I think the size of the units are appropriate. I definitely would echo the concerns of talking with the with not only with the city, but also maybe with some of the affordable agencies to find out the exact formula and how will these be treated, because it's not really just a question of whether or not you want to do that, but how they will actually affect how they're valued and whether or not they will be truly treated as affordable units. But I do hope that we can come to an agreement where we do see this built, because I do think it's an appropriate use. So we got one more here.
One more comment. I appreciate seeing the street trees laid out on the plan. Hopefully you'll either have parkways or, if not, entire parkways along the curb, that is landscape parkways, at least to the yard area, just enough to create the 4-foot-wide, I think, ADA requirement for the sidewalk, and yet have a substantial area for expansion of the tree trunk and the roots, and not a little tiny box. All right. Thank you. Thank you, Member Pro Tem.
Is that sufficient for staff? Good.
I only want to make one comment, Mayor Pro Tem, with regards to the idea that somebody might come in and build more units. They really cannot because it's only allowed with the MF zoning. They can only do five. It's only when somebody comes in voluntarily to do affordable housing that they can get a density bonus. So I just wanted to make that clear.
Could they get a higher density if they were doing more affordable units?
Yes, they could, but they would have to volunteer to do more affordable housing. And generally speaking, we don't really get those kinds of applications.
Okay, and like I say, it may flesh out that when we look at the real numbers, it won't happen. I guess one of the other concerns is the parking issue, though, because I know that is another one that is a concession that we have to give sometimes. And so right now we look like we're having – I don't want to see the neighborhood with impacted severely on the street, I guess, is what I'm looking at.
Right.
So
definitely. Thank you.
Can I just clarify something? Isn't the concession project specific? So even the concession isn't with the zoning. The concession is project.
It's definitely project.
So if another project came forward, you wouldn't necessarily you would be able to reevaluate the parking at that time.
Right.
So
that's correct.
Okay. I just wanted to raise the flag. Okay, then if that's covered, then we will go to City Council reports. Item an opportunity for the city to participate if they choose to with a tag along. The anticipated cost would be around $5,000 to $10,000 to do a supplemental study specifically geared towards the city. They're going to be fleshing out the details exactly what would be included in that, and when that is done, then I will present that to the city as well so we can consider that. Those are my reports. Councilmember Costello.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor Pro Tem. Zone 3, we last met September 20th. I think I may have reported on this last time, but I'll just catch up. The filter system on the new plant is working better, working almost 4 million gallons per day capacity. The habitat conservation plan is still on hold, waiting for things to go forward, so we're just spinning wheels on that. APCD met on 9/26/07. We presented the Pollution Prevention Recognition Awards. A particular note was the Oceana Community Center. With an extremely environmentally friendly design with a lot of natural lighting uses and ventilation designed into the building to be very, very energy efficient with solar power cells. Very nice job. So I want to commend Oceana Community Center design team for a great job. APCD has organized a subcommittee to look at some fiscal issues. We're looking at the potential that with the power plant in Morro Bay at risk, that really jeopardizes a significant chunk of the operating funds for the APCD. So we're looking at some longer-term issues in terms of subcommittee. Fire Oversight Committee last met on 8/24/07.
SCAT hasn't met since my last report, and that there's nothing to report from the JPIA. Thank you.
Thank you. Councilmember Fellows.
Thank you, Mayor Pro Tem. The South County Youth Coalition did not meet this month. The Water Resources Advisory Committee did meet. I handed each of you and the city clerk just a couple of copies of printed information that I picked up at the meeting of the RAC, Water Resources Advisory Committee. The one with the several, it's actually a boiled down PowerPoint presentation, just some information there for you if you're interested in how San Luis is dealing with the water shortage and so on now and in the future. And then also some website information from the California Urban Water Conservation Council on dealing with the drought. And that's my report.
Thank you. Very timely, I think.
Yeah.
We have no city council member items, city manager items.
No, sir.
Thank you. Council communications. One, I would like to thank you, Steve, for making it a light agenda tonight. It made it a little easier for me. And then also I would like to let everyone know that Slow Green Build is having a meeting tomorrow night. I believe it's from 6 to 7:30 in Paso. And they're going to be covering issues on orientation and such. I got an email from them today. So I believe their website is slowgreenbuild.org. Or if anyone had a question, they could probably contact Ryan at the city as well. So any other council communications?
I just want to ask the city manager a question at the appropriate time. A quick question regarding follow-up from fluorescent tube disposal And I also thank Disposal Electronics. Do you have anything on that tonight?
I have not prepared it yet, but, yeah, I'm in contact with both those agencies. And what I decided was I'd like to actually kind of work out a proposed proposal, a little bit duplicative, but have an actual recommended plan to come forward with some dates and everything. So if you give me the next meeting, I should have it more flushed out by then, rather than to present just an overview today. I'd like to be able to give you a specific recommendation at the next meeting.
And, Steve, I think we discussed, or I brought up the fact that the folks have been in touch with you through email and so on. When you're done, I'll continue. Regarding also disposal of electronics, setting up some kind of a pickup point and so on. That's you're going to include that as well as the fluorescent fixtures.
Yeah, and I apologize. That's actually what I was focusing most of this on. I'll coordinate the two, but the primary proposal, since we have an agency and I'm also dealing with the Integrated Waste Management Authority, I want to put together a more detailed proposal before I get it to you.
Thank you. Thank you, Mayor Pro Tem.
Anything else? Staff communications?
No, sir. Just want to compliment you on your good job running the meeting this evening.
A few flaws. And let's see. This is item 17, community comments and suggestions. This is a final opportunity for our public to speak. Rob, would you like to come up?
No.
All right. Well, then we will close community comments and suggestions, and we'll bring it back for adjournment.
So moved.
Thank you.